Welcome to episode one of the Edisto TV podcast, produced by Edisto TV, connecting the Blackwater region. Here are our hosts, Hugo and Tom.
Well, thank you for the introduction, Marge. This is the very first Edisto TV podcast, and I'm here with Tom. I'm Hugo. And let's get things started first by talking about Edisto TV. It's in the name. What is Edisto TV, Tom?
Well, Edisto TV is really two things that become a greater thing. The first is that it's a wireless internet service provider with the mission of providing high-speed fiber network to the Edisto River Basin. Secondly, it's a content channel. So we have Edisto Concerns, which we'll talk about, which was developed in for the purpose of raising attention to issues along the river. You've got your Edisto Expeditions. We have a couple other things coming soon. But the idea is a content channel that provides information and entertainment for the people of the Edisto River Basin, what we call in the Blackwater region. So the tagline for Edisto TV, we're connecting the Blackwater region. We feel like this is a kind of a disconnected area. Even though we've been connected by the river for hundreds of years, we still feel like there's an opportunity to connect these people through media.
Yeah, and just to jump in for a second here, one of the things that really brought us together as a group was the Edisto River and the surface water withdrawal issue. But it quickly became apparent that a lot of the folks here along the river, you know, there's not really an identity for this region of the state. Some people get their news and sort of their nearest community is Aiken, others Orangeburg, some around Edisto Island, some Charleston, I guess. But there's not a cohesive identity for the Edisto River Basin. But historically, this has been an important part of the state, and we think that in recent years, a really underserved part of the state, especially in terms of things like high-speed internet service. So that's how the river and the internet stuff kind of got combined in our minds, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely. And so the idea is that by providing high-speed internet and providing a content that's of interest to the people of this area, we're hoping that together those things form a platform. It's a platform for communications. It's a platform for advertising. It's a platform for education. And I believe it'll be a platform for commerce. And so the goal is to do what people have been doing for hundreds of years, which is to facilitate communications, advertising, education, commerce up and down this river. And I believe the people are connected, but I believe there's an opportunity to be more connected.
Tom, one of the things that you and I have talked about, I know off mic, and I'd like to talk about it a bit now, is in a lot of ways, this is an idea that's just taking shape. I know we've got some exciting partnerships lined up. There's Atlantic Broadband, there's Ubiquity Networks, and there's also ConnectSC. Can you tell me about who those folks are and what they bring to the table for this?
Yeah, sure. So Atlantic Broadband is a fiber network internet service provider. I don't know every place that they are, but they're in Aiken. And they're coming to this area near Wagner, Sally, Perry, Springfield. And these are places that have been completely unserved by high-speed internet. I mean, in the town of Sally, you still can't even get DSL, let alone if you want, you know, what you and I want, which is high-speed fiber, upload, download, the whole bit. So Atlantic Broadband is providing a great service by bringing us high-speed internet out here. And what they will be doing is they're going to be serving the specific local communities like the town of Wagner, the town of Sally, et cetera. But they're not planning to go to the rural areas. So guys like me and you who are 3 miles outside of town or 5 miles outside of town, we're still not going to have access to high speed. So what we're also partnering with them to buy the internet wholesale. And then Ubiquity Networks is a tremendous their website, I believe, is ubnt.com. But Ubiquity Networks is a Silicon Valley company, and their mission is to bring internet to the entire world. And there are plenty of places like us that are not getting what they need.
Yeah, and just I've had the chance to see a presentation from them and a few demonstrations of their technology, and it seems like they're basically using cell phone technology to put the signal from where it originates, for instance, in Wagner. It would then be sent using microwave to a receiver, which would then service about a two-mile area?
Yeah, depending on how high your tower is. But, yeah, serving off what we're trying to do is use existing tower. So if you have a tower in your yard and you are living in the Edisto River Basin, let us know, and we will take advantage of your tower. But for now, even just the town water towers is a really great place to start. And so, yeah, we can get probably 3 miles out from a town with no trouble. And with a little repeater, you can get 6 miles out. So there's a tremendous opportunity with that. And then you mentioned Connect SC, Connect South Carolina, or ConnectSC.org. This is a group that is dedicated to bringing high-speed broadband to every place in South Carolina. And they've got some really interesting maps that I'll post a link to that in the show notes. But they have a map that shows what areas are served by high-speed internet and what places are underserved and what places are unserved. And so the Edisto River Basin is mostly underserved or unserved. And so we see a tremendous opportunity. We don't see a lot of big companies, you know, wanting to lay cable through the swamp. So wireless is the way to go. And so we think we have the right pieces of the puzzle put together here. And so we're hoping to get this going very soon.
Okay. So if people are interested in this, what do they do? How do they find out more? How do they get in touch with you to talk about it? What's the next step?
Next step, go to edisto.tv and click I'm interested, and you can tell us that you're interested in getting high-speed broadband in your area. If you're interested in investing, if you have money and want to use it to further this cause, you can do that as well. So definitely the way to start is edisto.tv.
And edisto.tv is a website. The .tv is one of those fancy new URLs. In place of a .com or .org. Or
yeah, whatever. It's from the nation of Tuvalu.
There you go. It's an island nation, I understand. I'm Hugo. I'm here with Tom. And since this is the first one, we thought it'd be a good idea to start by talking about what this is and why it's here. All this started for me back in November when we heard about a big potato farm that was going to be drawing water from the South Fork of the Edisto River under the permission of South Carolina's DHEC and the Agricultural Registration for a Surface Water Withdrawal. And it was pretty alarming. The first things I heard about it was that the single farm was going to be able to take half the water in the river at any given time. And since I live on the North Fork of the river and have been working on a documentary about the river as the Edisto expeditions, when this came up, it really got my attention. And the person who told me about it said that there were two guys in Wagner who were raising all kinds of ruckus about what was going to be happening. And that was Doug Busby and Tom, who has since then been working with me to put together Edisto Concerns. So, Tom, tell me how you first became aware of the situation on the South Fork.
Well, it was through my friend Doug, who had heard through the grapevine that there was this giant farm going in down there on the river, and that they were putting in giant pipes, and they had these huge motors that they had brought in, and they were planning on sucking a lot of water out of the river. And we started getting online trying to figure out, well, who do we call? You know, what do we do? So the first call I made was to DHEC in Aiken, and the guy who responded or who answered said, this can't be. I haven't heard a thing about it. This is not right. Nobody can just go clear cut 5,000 acres and suck water out of the river. I mean, can't be. So I said, well, great. I'm glad I got you. Well, 30 minutes later, I got a call back from DHEC up at headquarters in Columbia, and they said, hey, calm down. This is all legal. This is all legit. Here's the facts. And they started telling us that they had filed a registration for 805 million gallons per month and that it was perfectly legal. It was all according to the law. He sent us the specific laws. He sent us the specific DHEC process for how they interpret the law. And so, meanwhile, in that process, somewhere along in there, we, you know, Googled protect the Edisto River or something like that and found Friends of the Edisto. So we had never, Doug and I, neither of us had even heard of Friends of the Edisto, but we immediately sent an email and said, you know, have you heard about this farm? And they had not heard a thing. People that were, you know, devoting themselves to protecting this river had not heard a word about it. And so that's how we got involved.
Okay. So that was in November of 2013, probably a week or two before Thanksgiving that this really came to a head. And very quickly, y'all got a lot of attention because there was the story in the state newspaper the first week in December. And then there was the lawsuit that was filed by Fred to try to stop the registration that had already been approved from taking effect. Fred and the people at Walther Farms, which was the big potato farm involved, managed to find a way of settling their differences without going through the full court process. And in the course of all that, we came to what turns out, I think, to be the real issue, we can both agree, which is South Carolina has a terrible piece of legislation. Well, I'm being a little harsh, wouldn't you say? It is a well-intentioned piece of legislation that did a lot to protect surface water in terms of industrial and municipal takings. But because of the way the legislation is written, agriculture comes under a different process. There's an agricultural registration process as opposed to a permitting process. And, you know, some of the problems with the agriculture registration as we see it, there's no public notice that there's been a registration filed. There's no public hearings. There are no conversations about the health of the river between various state agencies. There's a straight determination of what they call safe yield based on a really questionable calculation of the annual mean average water level, which we'll talk about probably more than people want us to at various times here. But so it came to where we started to realize that it wasn't a problem with a particular farmer or farmers in general. It's a problem with this law. You want to talk about that a bit?
Yeah, and certainly the potato farmers became our focus because, you know, they were coming from out of state and they, you know, bought up all this land and then they're going to suck our river dry. And that was what we thought. And turns out they were just doing what farmers do, which is, you know, buying land and growing potatoes and getting water the best way they know. And the law in South Carolina really invites this kind of thing. And so right now our focus is more on long term. What if 50 huge farms from out of state want to come in and take the thing, you know, take every drop of water out of the river? Unfortunately, DHEC is really all they do is a math equation. We actually, on the paperwork, you could see where they did it by hand. Mm-hmm. I think they have a calculator that they use. But they do a math equation, and whatever that number is, they say, here, you know, you can take this much water. So it's a huge problem. We see this problem of water being a huge thing for the next 50 years. People, you know, these huge farms out west are drying up. They're drawing their wells dry. The rivers are going dry, and they're coming this way.
You know, one of the things that really got a lot of people's attention when the potato farm issue first came up was that 805 million gallons a month withdrawal amount. And, you know, the reaction from a lot of people was that the river just couldn't sustain that level of withdrawal. And when you look at the historical record of the actual gauge on the river, which is, what, 20, 30 miles downstream of where the actual withdrawal is coming out, if they were able to withdraw that amount of water from the river. That would be more than was actually flowing through that stretch of water at, what, six times over the past 25 years or so?
Exactly.
So that was one of the bits of this that really got everybody's attention early on. I know that the amount of water that the farm is actually taking is about a quarter of that, and that they've revised their registration to be 400 million gallons a month maximum. But I do think it's worth pointing out that according to those calculations that DHEC did, if they were to take 800 million gallons of water a month out of the river, DHEC says, according to this calculation they have, that that's less than 15% of the water in the river.
Right.
And I just, the disparity between that calculation on their part and what the metering on the river historically shows, I think is a strong indication that there's something wrong here.
Right. So the thing about that is that they're using, what do they call it, the median?
The mean annual average.
The mean annual average. Well, a river like the Edisto River, it has a huge wide floodplain. It's a swamp. And so a lot of rain water drains in there, and there are times of the year when that thing is, you know, covers, you know, a very wide swath of land. But there are other times in the middle of the summer where it is literally a trickle.
A week ago, I was out there, and the water was down at the bottom step on the canoe landing at the state park. I was out there yesterday. Those steps on the canoe dock are underwater, and the water is in the trees up almost to the artesian well there at the put-in at Aiken State Park. And that's a swing in the space of a week.
Right. And so the phrase that DHEC used, and I'll play the clip. Hopefully we can include the clip in this podcast. But the phrase that DHEC used was, somebody said, could they ever, you know, actually take every last drop of water from the river? And of course, everybody thinks, of course not. But DHEC's answer was that according to the law, there is no minimum in-stream flow requirement. And that's technical talk for saying, yes, they could take every last drop if they want to.
And since you mentioned DHEC said this, and we do have tape of that we'll we'll drop in here. But it's important to remember that we didn't just sort of get this randomly. DHEC came to Aiken on January 7th and had an informational meeting about the surface water withdrawal law. And some of the stuff they said at that meeting was completely mind-blowing. It's 4 months ago now, so the immediacy of it's kind of passed for us. But just to remember, one of the things we learned at that meeting was, if you register an agricultural water withdrawal, it's good forever. It never comes up for review. It never expires. I thought that was exciting.
I thought another one was the fact that we said, did you consult Department of Natural Resources, DNR, to see how this might affect the river or the, you know, plants and wildlife and all these things? And they said, there's no reason to talk to them.
The DHEC is subject to the law just like everyone else. We don't have the flexibility to change it. We have to comply with the law ourselves. The law that regulates surface water withdrawal for agricultural activities does not have a process to consider public comments in that decision process. Okay, so we will not be documenting the comments tonight and providing specific responses to them.
So that they can actually take the river down to no water on a particular day, is that correct?
The way the registration works for agriculture is there is no minimum in-stream flow number at which they would have to stop withdrawing.
What's the duration of the registration?
It does not have a duration associated with it.
Under your regulations, could you have considered the idea of making this a timely type of process whereby they were registered per year or per 6 months or something of that nature?
No, again, the regulation mirrors the legislation very, very closely. The legislation itself did not give any sort of time frame or expiration. Therefore, the regulation could not do that. The regulation can't go beyond what the legislative authority is.
You have said earlier that DHEC doesn't make the law, but DHEC has to abide by the law. My question is there any element of that law that requires DHEC to issue these permits and approvals?
For the registration, yes, sir, it is.
The law actually requires that if an application comes in to you, that you approve it. Without any input from the public and no, understanding their concerns, the tens of thousands of people that are between that point and Edgestone Beach and all those concerns, you think it's appropriate to say that the law requires you to make that such approval?
Yes, sir. I'm just sharing with you what the law set up for agricultural registrations.
You're saying once this entity is issued a registration, that registration is good for right on, right? So if someone downstream, another larger, you know, 10 times larger farm, they would not, you know, according to your calculations, if they met within the regulations, they would be issued. But if they were over, they would not be issued one?
That's correct.
And this farm, once it's issued its registration, keeps that registration for as long as they're in business in the state of South Carolina.
Right.
We know that you were not required under the law to consult DNR. And DNR has a lot of expertise in water quantity. Y'all do much more of water quality. And so I want to ask you, what kept you from consulting with DNR just voluntarily? We know you weren't required, but I feel like, in a way, when our senators and representatives pass a law, they also think it's going to be sort of a common sense approach to you doing the best you can to take in all the good information you can. So I'd just like to put that question out.
You know, the Act specifically, and I'm not going to hide behind this, but the Act specifically includes places where we have to consult with DNR, okay? But it also, for the ag process, there's nothing to consult on, okay? It is strictly if it's in a safe field, they're registered. There's nothing to consult on. So I appreciate your thought, okay? And we, you know, as you're aware, between David and I, we talk to DNR every week. You know, it's not like we don't talk to DNR. We're working hand in hand with them on this new water assessment for the state, so we'll have a better handle for future water decisions.
So it's bad when the agencies in charge of these things aren't able to have input into things that have an effect on them. So that's a little background to how we got to these issues. And as time goes by, I think we're going to be picking some of this apart and exploring it in more detail. But let's talk a little bit now about Stewardship Day. That was on May 10th. I made my way down to Colleton State Park for that, and we had, I would say, several dozen people come out and help out with cleaning up the river. There were Boy Scouts there. Miss Rice Festival was there. There were people from all over the state who care about rivers who came and paddled or else walked along the riverbanks, picked up a big dumpster full of trash, and the fine folks at Friends of the Edisto, Fred, supplied some music and a nice barbecue lunch there at the state park for afterwards. And I think we had a good time, and I know we did a lot of good for the river. And meanwhile, Tom and Doug were not at Colleton State Park because they had their own little stewardship day up here at Aiken State Park. And Tom, tell me about what you did on May 10th.
Yep, had a much smaller group. We had two boats. We did get with park manager Mahoney at the Aiken State Park and got him involved, and we've got some pictures we'll share on the web from that. But we just had two boats, and we went out and we did clean up the boat ramp. We picked up a lot of trash at the Aiken State Park boat ramp. We made sure that the canoe trail at the Aiken State Park is cleared, so we were out there with a couple of chainsaws and just kind of clearing the path. It's, if you've never been on the South Edisto, that far up, it is, there's always trees in the river. And so it's really tough to navigate. And so what we're trying to do is clear a path, hopefully by the end of June, that would go all the way from Aiken State Park all the way down to, I believe it's called Cattle Bridge.
Cattle Bridge, yeah. And it's a little early to start explaining all the details of what we have planned, But since you mentioned the end of June, I do think it's appropriate to bring up here that we are planning to have what we're tentatively calling the Blackwater Festival at Aiken State Park. It's going to be on June the 21st, starting at noon and going to 8 p.m. We're going to have food. We're going to have music. We're going to have a lot of people there who know about the water issue and who know about the ecosystem there along the North Fork of the Edisto. A lot of opportunities to get out and enjoy the Edisto River and to learn about what it's going to take to protect not just the Edisto, but all of the surface water resources in South Carolina as we pursue changes in the Surface Water Withdrawal Act. Tom, can you talk a little bit about what Aiken State Park has to offer?
Yeah, Aiken State Park is a great little place. It's just a few miles down the road from my house, but they've got a couple of lakes there. They've got access to the river. They've got what they call the canoe trail that is probably about a 45-minute paddle.
Yeah, it's about a mile and a half, I think.
Yeah, so it's a really nice place, and so we're hoping to have some music out there and, cook some food and give up people an opportunity to paddle that portion of the river. We've cleared all the way down to the potato farm. So we see that as a opportunity for people to see this. And, we've kind of made peace with the potato farmers, but at the same time, to see this huge thing that they've built on the river is really, I don't know, it was kind of heart-wrenching for me standing there because that river is so quiet and so beautiful and so natural. And then to just, come around a bend and see this huge intake with these huge motors. And, I'll be honest, I still don't like it. I've learned to live with it, and we want to make peace with our neighbors, but I don't like it.
All right, let me pull you back from the mic for a minute. And I will say that the first time I saw that site, they had a couple of track hose down on the edge of the river, and they were digging the place where what is now there was going to go. And I was shocked. But I've been back a couple of times since. We were over there and visited the potato farm a couple of weeks ago with Doug. And they have done a lot to make it not as bad as it was. They've planted a lot of native trees around it. They have taken care of silt fences and so forth so that there's not as much direct runoff from their construction site into the river. It's not as noisy as I expected it to be, although I still hear it. So I agree. I mean, I wish it wasn't there, but it's not as bad as I thought it might be when I first saw it. And like you say, what we're planning on doing as part of our event on June 21st is we're going to go ahead and make sure that there is canoe access from the state park boat ramp down to the next bridge boat ramp, which is a little below the potato farm. And we've cut through about two-thirds of that distance now, and by the end of June, we'll have it so that people can paddle down and check it out for themselves. Well, okay, Tom, we made it through the first Edisto TV podcast without anybody getting hurt too badly, I think. And hopefully we've given some folks some information about what the issues are and what the focus of Edisto TV is and what all this is about and why we are here. Just to recap, we do want to see a lot of folks come out for what we're calling the Blackwater Festival. That's going to be on June 21st at Aiken State Park. There's going to be a lot of great information. There will be music. There will be food. Basically, you pay your park entrance fee of, I think it's $2 a vehicle, and then you get access to all the music and all of the information and events and education. And whatever you buy from the vendors, a share of that goes to supporting Friends of the Edisto and the preservation of water resources in South Carolina. You want to say anything to wrap us up here, Tom?
Just bring your canoe. Bring your kayaks. We're going to try to have some shuttles going. So we want people on the river, and we hope to have it ready for you.
And if you're one of those who likes to plan ahead, the event date is June 21st. If you are interested in camping, there are campsites at the state park, I think 25 or so. They're on a first-come, first-served basis. So if you're planning on attending and you would like to camp, you need to make those reservations as soon as possible. And I know that Park Manager Mahoney will be happy to help you with that because he told me so yesterday. So we hope to see you there, and that's it for the inaugural Edisto TV podcast.
Thank you for listening to Episode 1 of the Edisto TV podcast, produced by Edisto TV, connecting the Blackwater region.